We here at Live Free DIY Hard believe that some of the best music to ever exist is played in garages, on back porches, and in basements. As is the nature of live music, it is most often lost to the moment. It is our goal to bring you some of the people making that music, to sit down with them, to have a chat, and to find out a little about them. So welcome to the first episode of Live Free DIY Hard Presents Underground Music Conversations. I'm your host, David Robison. Joining us today is Sacramento-based singer-songwriter Brianna Carmel.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So why don't you go ahead and explain to everyone your origin story, kind of like what you're about and how you got started in the DIY music scene?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been local to Sacramento, California my whole life. I'm 28 at the moment for context. And I've been playing in bands since I was 14 years old. I got my start in a local, I guess like music camp, summer camp program type, I guess summer music program, I guess would be the proper way to say that, called, it's put on by a local music store called Skip's Music. They have like a couple different locations, I think, both like, you know, in and near Sacramento, and they have a summer music program for kids and teenagers called Stairway to Stardom. And basically, they, you know, a bunch of different kids and teens sign up, and on the sign up sheet, it asks like, you know, what do you play and how long have you been playing? And like, what are your influences and what are the bands that you like want to sound like, and what genre are you trying to play and things like that. And they group the kids together based on their answers to the sign up sheet, and then there's like evaluations and it's like a whole process, and then the kids spend supervised by like each band of kids has like a coach or a mentor, like an adult in the room.
Yeah, I'm picturing School of Rock, but summer camp. Would that kind of be an accurate vibe? Uh-huh.
Pretty much, yeah. Because, yeah, honestly, yeah. Or at least that paints a pretty good picture. Because, like, it was basically like the kids are given deadlines to write. When I was in the program, all three of the songs had to be original. Last time I checked, they were allowed to pick one cover song and just have two be originals. But regardless, yeah, they're given like deadlines and, you know, however many, I think it's like 2 months to practice, and throughout the 2 months, there's like the deadlines I mentioned, and there's also like dress rehearsals, so the kids have some practice, like at least performing in front of the other kids before like show day, because for a lot of these kids it's like their first show. It was my first show, so
cool.
Yeah,
so the final project of the summer camp is putting on a concert.
It used to be like a battle of the bands where there was like a first, second, third place kind of deal.
That's so cool.
yeah. Now it's, again, last time I checked, I should say, he kind of just took like the battle of the bands hierarchy out of it, because, part of the prize for like winning was each of the bands, like, or each of the winning bands previously, like they would get to record in like a studio, But now the guy running the program is often the one recording the bands because he's the one that, like, is in charge of the program, and he has, like, he already does that for his own stuff and for other people, you know? So, like, yeah, so he just decided to record all of the Stairway bands and, one song per band and,
nice.
And just take out, like, the competitive factor of it, which I honestly thought was a smart move because,
yeah, I can, like, see.
Even just being a kid in the program, I vividly remember a lot of weird, like, just behind the scenes, just like weirdness and drama because of the fact that it was like that, like a battle, like a competition, you know?
Competition can bring out cattiness amongst the youth.
Or even just like, insecurity or like whatever it is for whoever. Cause I was also,
it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I was also, a mentor, like a coach or whatever for the program a couple times. And so I've been on like both sides of it. So when I say that, I'm not trying to like, you know, I understand how it is like experiencing it and also kind of like.
Yeah. Seeing it from both sides, you know? The mentor and the student.
Yeah.
That's cool. So this happened
that happened when I was 14.
Yeah, 14.
I'm not even going to get into, like, all the nitty-gritty of, like, all my lore today. But basically, since then, the long and short of it is that since then, I've, like, been in various different bands, and I have my solo project, and I also like dabble with friends here and there, and it's a good time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you've been bopping around the Sacramento scene for many a years.
Many years. All those who have made me feel it better off without me, but I'm so tired of feeling sorry. My ex says that I should say thank you when I feel to blame. So thanks for all the fish and help. I kind of want to talk about your process when you decide you want to make some music. What kind of routines or rituals do you do to kind of get in the mindset for music creation? Oh, okay. That's really interesting because, like, I always joke to, like, my musician friends that I'm very, like, vocalist-brained because vocals was, like, my first instrument. I consider it to be like my quote unquote main instrument, you know. It's kind of like the lens through which I'm able to understand, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but basically for me, writing a lot of the time is like figuring out or realizing or whatever, like, if there's a specific feeling or thought I'm trying to like convey, because with vocals that's kind of like the main thing. So a lot of times I mean, it kind of depends on the song, like what specifically comes first, whether it's like words or like vocal melody or both or like all of that or like both of those and also like chord progression or whatever. Like sometimes it all comes to me really fast, and sometimes I need to spend like a couple days like working on it. But I guess I don't know. I've been told that my process, I mean, not frequently or anything, but I've heard here and there that, like, I don't know, it doesn't take me very long to be like, okay, I'm done with this song. You know, like, I might tweak a word or something eventually, like way down the line, if I really feel like something didn't hit quite right. But.
So you kind of see the vision and you execute on it rather quickly, and you're,
yeah,
like, you seem to be the exact opposite of me. Whenever I decide I'm going to do something, I pick at it until it breaks, and then I'm like, ah. So you've got your vision, and then you execute it, and then it's like, this is how it's going to be. And then maybe you might tweak it after you've played around with it.
Yeah.
A little down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate.
As far as your solo career is concerned, is there anything, any album, song, that you've been particularly proud of, and that you're like, this is like me in a nutshell?
Oh, me in a, well, if that's the question, I kind of gotta say Bree Earned the Power of Self-Respect, the EP, because it is kind of, I feel like it is pretty much me in a nutshell, like a lot of my lore in a nutshell. And like, yeah, I don't even know how to explain, really. It's kind of just, I don't know. It chronicles a turning point in my life, I guess, is the best way to put it. And so I feel like it's a very important piece of whatever for me, you know?
Yeah. I'll let listeners know that this was the first piece that we covered on the website from you. And I liked it a lot in the execution of the themes. It has a very Scott Pilgrim Takes on the World vibe in the artwork and whatnot. And then how the progression of the songs and kind of forms a character arc where you can see through the songs you changing as a person. And when I actually covered the song, I chose to write about it as if it were a manga, because it gave that vibe. Each song was a chapter.
I remember this vividly, and I loved that. I absolutely was obsessed with that choice. I was like, yes.
So it's a really cool album. I think people should definitely check it out. And probably threw you a softball question on that one in retrospect. But.
Yeah. So listen closely, because I won't deprive myself of respect this time. No longer accepting the steady decline of people pleasing till age 25.
Now, the first actual piece from you that we covered in the whole lore of Live Free DIY Hard was back when it was a radio, a Twitch streaming radio show, and we a Blooming Head song. It was, I looked it up, I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. Access.
Because it's got a weird name. Access.
Yes. So that was the first song we covered from you. It was from your Blooming Heads project.
Yeah.
Big fan of that song. Your vocals in it are really smooth. That's the thing I like about it. I actually, for the first time right before this interview, sat down and actually looked at the words, and it's kind of grim.
A lot of my words is kind of my thing.
So I guess I kind of bamboozled myself, just leaning into the smoothness, and it's not necessarily a smooth song in the story in which it tells.
It's like, how do I explain? That's a good, that's funny, because I was like nervous about harping on the band, and now I'm like, whatever. But things are just uncertain with the band right now, and I can say that publicly, and it's fine. But yeah, with that song, it's like, so yeah, the story isn't necessarily like smooth, but it is kind of like being told in hindsight with the clarity that, baby, it's not in your head, and it was not in your head, kind of, mm-hmm. I guess, is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it covers, we won't go into it too deep because it really doesn't matter, but it's just so that people understand it's kind of like a troubled relationship and you're looking at it in hindsight.
Yeah. Honestly, similar themes are covered in Re-Earned the Power of Self-Respect, the EP. Not necessarily like troubled relationships are definitely a theme on that release as well.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not even like, I mean, I guess like romantic relationships, but also like, it's not all specific. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, relationships with others and also relationship with like yourself and like your own, I don't know. Just like how others treat you, and it's a whole thing. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was setting this up to segue into talking about the Blooming Heads project, mm-hmm. but you recently announced, and you kind of teased it earlier, but you recently announced on the internet that the Blooming Heads have gone on hiatus. Did you want to share the story?
I love the way you asked that. And I love that I get to say no comment. But as far as, like, what I'm willing to say publicly, just, I don't know, not much other than what I said, really. We're on hiatus. I have no hate in my heart for anyone involved with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I have a lot of love in my heart for all of them. So, I guess if anything,
that's all I'll really say there. Well, we here at Live Free DIY Hard will let you keep your secrets.
Yeah. Appreciate it. I feel it in my chest. Coerced relations. Not in your head, unwanted access. Sit home and hold my breath. Violence and madness. Baby, it's not in your head. Baby,
just to touch base on some of the other stuff that you've done, and then we'll get to like your future as an artist, is that you've done work with other people's projects, mainly Little Tiny Knife released a full-length album. Was it at the end of last year, or has it been longer than that?
It was like, it's been a little over a year. It was actually released on July 31st last year.
Oh my goodness, time flies. It feels like it's not,
I think,
been that long.
I think I got it up on Bandcamp later than that because I didn't mm-hmm. realize until later that I was the only one that was going to do that, basically. So I just did it, you know, with permission, obviously, as one third of, you know, the project or whatever.
One third of the band.
It was out everywhere, and we had like a release show on the 31st and everything, so.
Little Tiny Knife isn't technically like your main project. You're just a key player, but I did want to talk to you about how you as an artist work with corroborating with people when you're not the driving force of the project.
Oh, sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess like, hmm. I mean,
how do you put your spin on things when you're not the driving force behind the direction of the project?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it often comes down to just like, and I don't know how to say this in a way that, like, I don't know, I kind of just, try to, I guess, and it helps if I'm, like, especially familiar with the song and, like, or not even the song, but just, like, the project as a whole, like, if I have a vibe for how the project makes me feel, then I kind of just try to, like, take that, if that makes sense, like, how it makes me feel and kind of accentuate how it makes me feel with my additions to it, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it's like taking the space that you're given and kind of filling it with the vibe that the project makes you feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
And that just goes for, like, I mean, pretty much all I'm really doing is, like, in other projects is, like, backup vocals and shit for people. But, yeah, I was going to say that just mainly applies to when I'm, like, you know, coming up with vocals.
Nice.
And anything I play on top of that is kind of just, like, I guess once again, like, vibes and feelings, just, like, what I feel is appropriate for whatever particular song, you know.
Like, you had mentioned putting the Little Tiny Knife album up on Bandcamp, and that was under your
916
growth gigs project. Is it a project? It's kind of, my understanding is that it's
just like show promoter name for me, basically, like, okay. A show promoter moniker for me.
So it's, yeah, it's kind of like your show promoting project.
I guess so.
Project. So
yeah.
When you're doing the growth gigs project, is this like a means to an end? Like, if you set up shows, you get to play in shows, or is this more about community building?
Little column A, little column B, you know? Yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, definitely a bit of both, because, like, I definitely wouldn't be playing as much if I wasn't, like, booking myself as much as I do. But at the same time, like, I definitely try to, you know, make it a community thing as much as I can. Like, I play a lot of the shows I book, but not all of them, you know. Like, well, yeah.
A rising tide lifts all ships, as the sailors would say, I suppose.
Yeah.
So it's cool that you're building community, and then having, you know, not only do you get to access the community, but other people get to access the community. And there's you know, I think that's cool. So.
Thank you.
What does the future look for you as an artist, both solo and any particular project that may or may not be on hiatus or may come into being? in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to, like, spoil everything, but I will say that since as at the very least, like, people who were kind of in the know with Blooming Heads know, we were working on an album, and I basically, like, with the hiatus or whatever we want to call it, with that kind of being a thing, I basically just decided that I'm taking a good amount of Blooming Head songs and a good amount of solo songs, and like a lot of which just exists as like demos and stuff. And just making a fucking solo album, I guess.
So this is a exclusive new announcement then?
Man, I guess so. I guess that's what this is. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
New solo album containing, at least in part, some of the Blooming Heads album that will not be on account of the hiatus.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. I'm looking forward to hearing that. Like I said, I really like the Blooming Head stuff that's out, and I think it would be cool to see it in some kind of fashion in the future. So
thank you.
Okay, one last tough question.
Okay,
and then we'll wrap this up. But sure. So we're talking about the future, and I'm just interested to know what would be like the goal. What's your goal for your career and its advancement? What are you shooting for? What's success look like to you as a DIY artist?
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's so, I hate like the world that we live in, because literally my first thought was just like, well, it'd be nice to like have this basically be like an actual like it is a source of income, but not like a consistent one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be nice if it could like consistently like cushion me. Mm-hmm. But I, at the same time, like, I don't know, just, I don't even know. I was like doing all this promo shit for so long, and I'm a little burnt out on it these days. So I don't go quite as hard on it as I like used to. And I feel like, I don't know, it's kind of like win some, you lose some, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, really, I just love to be able to, like, whether it's through, like, playing or booking or whatever, I'd love to be able to just, like, I don't know, comfortably, like, live, I guess, yes. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, Utah Phillips, he had a quote that I really liked that was when talking about his music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted to make a living. He didn't want to make a killing. So
yeah,
it seems that that's also a goal for you, which
yeah, I think, you know, not to cut you off, but like to me, it's like making a killing to me when someone tells me why, like, my lyrics meant something to them after I play or something, you know? Like, that's more important to me than, like, the scale of it or whatever. It, like, I really appreciate just, like, the intimate connections, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just being meaningful to somebody without necessarily having a monetary value attached to it is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Being meaningful to people seems to be, in my experience working with the DIY community, kind of more important than anything. And I think that's what I like best about the scene. So I think that's cool that you kind of have that same mindset.
Yeah. I also, I'm very much of the opinion that DIY is an ethos and not a genre. So
I agree.
Yeah.
We are in agreement there. So now that we found some common ground, let's go ahead and wrap up this interview. What I want to do is ask you to close out the interview. I'm going to ask you for a song you would like me to play all the way through to give everyone a taste of your music who might not be familiar.
Yeah, I know exactly. I'm going to send you my most recent single that I put out. When did I even drop this? I don't even remember how recently I dropped this. I think let's see. I can actually look at my Bandcamp. Hang on. I put out this song in May. I don't know what day in May, because I don't want to scroll. Oh, May 1st, I guess. So yeah, early May, I dropped this song. It is both a breakup song and a love song slash positive, like, in terms of tone. It's not bitter. It is a reflection, on a relationship that I was in for a couple years. The first healthy relationship of my adult life, and someone that I'm still, like, very good friends with. So I kind of just, I just, like, had this song that I wrote that was, like, it was, like, literally over a year after the breakup, and it was kind of funny because, like, I'd never really written a song about them before, and not that I'd never tried to, it just, every time I ever, like, tried to, it felt too forced, and I just don't like feeling forced when it comes to, like, writing lyrics in particular. Mm-hmm. So, basically I kind of just, this song kind of just, like, came out of me, after a year or so of breakup processing and just, like, friendship processing and relationship processing and all that, you know? Mm-hmm. 'Cause like I said, we're still very good friends. I have their face, like, a photo of us is the cover art, and they gave me permission to do that. So yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's called Real Eyes, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of like, it's sincere and earnest, but there are parts mm-hmm. of it that are kind of, like, inside jokey and shitposty, and the title is, like, a reference to that. But yeah,
that's cool. Fantastic. So before we play that, I do want to do one more thing. Can you let everybody know where to find you?
Yeah. I mean, I was just telling you that I have a link tree that I've been using. I have a website too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, linktr.ee/BriannaCarmel, which is, you know, just the link tree URL/BriannaCarmel. That's where you can find, like, all my, sorry, I was just going to say, that's where you can find, like, a link to blog with, like, my upcoming shows and, like, my other socials and, the lyric video for the song I just mentioned and shit like that.
Cool. I was just going to say, we'll put that in the show notes so that people can just click it.
Cool. Cool. Thank you for that.
Okay. So, without further ado, here
is Real Eyes, etc., etc. By me, Brianna Carmel.
I'll probably want to call it. excited for my race.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get ready and stuff, yeah.
Thank you for listening to Live Free DIY Hard Presents Underground Music Conversations. Intro music was provided by Ben Robison. All other music featured in this episode was provided by Brianna Carmel. Production and editing by David Robison.